These Sunday night lessons, we only have 22 minutes to deal with some topics. And so I want us tonight to look at the expression, let God be true about Lucifer. What do you know about Lucifer? Well, everybody knows who Lucifer is and everything. I think your mind may be stretched tonight, and we'll have to go in a hurry to do all of this. But we need to understand that what is commonly believed is not what the Bible says. Now, we're going to skip the next verse. That's the text that was read to us, because we're going to come back and look at it in great detail in just a minute. Here's the format of what we're trying to do on this Sunday night. And that is to look at at some element, some doctrine, some particular aspect of this, and we put the title of that topic right across the top. And then on the one side, we put the doctrines of men, and then we put the doctrines of God. And that's the screen is split in that way. And then we add to that this expression. When we contrast what God has said with what man has said, let God be true. And that's what we're trying to do. So let's get to the topic about Lucifer. Well, what are the doctrines of men about Lucifer? Well, it is believed in some varying form that Lucifer was the name of Satan before there was ever Adam and Eve. That it was Lucifer who was there in the Garden of Eden. That there was war in heaven and Lucifer was cast out of heaven and he came down to bring havoc on this earth. And so his first appearance is there in the Garden of Eden. There's Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. And you need to understand that, because that's one of the aspects of the doctrines of men that will not fit whenever we look at what God says about Lucifer. And so we just put the doctrines up here that Lucifer rebelled against God. He was cast out. He came down to the Garden of Eden. He tempted Adam and Eve. He brought all of this turmoil that's in the world. And Lucifer is still in the world and creating all of these other things. It is interesting, the origin of the word Lucifer. At one time, I thought the word Lucifer was simply a transliteration of the Hebrew word. It is not a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word that is translated Lucifer is found one time in the Bible. Get this. The word Lucifer is found only one time in the totality of the Bible, and it's not a Hebrew word. It is a word that literally means, not the word Lucifer, but the Hebrew word means a bright shining light. It might be something like the day star, the morning star. And so it was that the world, paganism, believed that the planet Venus, and we'll come back to this and talk a little bit more as we amplify this, that Venus was that day star. But the Latin word for Venus, and when Latin was spoken, instead of calling that planet Venus, they called it Lucifer. And so the translators, when they came to this verse in the Bible, and I'm talking more specifically about the Latin translation, but before we get to the Latin translation, I just found it interesting. Can you pronounce this Greek name for Venus? It's Phosphorus, isn't it? That's the Greek word for it. And so the Greeks looked up and they saw that star and they called it Phosphorus. What star is that? That's the star that we call Venus. You know what the Latins called that star? Lucifer. And so in communication, when they were translating the Bible into Latin and they came to this verse, and it was Jerome who in about 350 or 375 A.D., a Catholic translator of the Bible, when he came to this verse, he looked at that Hebrew word, and it's not the word Lucifer, it is just a bright shining light, And so, because immediately following this word, Lucifer, is the phrase that is translated the son of the morning, like the morning star, he's put the word Lucifer into the text. It was a Roman name for the pagan goddess Venus. I find that really remarkable. And so that was in the translation, the Vulgate translation that was used by the Catholic, the Latin Bible, and it became influential. And so whenever the King James Bible was being made, the doctrine of Lucifer being a fallen angel had been spread so widely by the Catholics, and that dogma was there, and Protestantism came along and just bought into that Catholic idea, the Protestant translation of the Bible. I'm talking about the King James, and I know that you don't usually think of the Church of England being Protestant, but it was protesting against Rome and against the Latin Bible, and that's one of the reasons they have this English translation. Let's look a little bit more about the origin of the word Lucifer. It was the Catholic influence on Christendom which incorporated pagan ideas about the goddess Venus. So you got to understand, here is some paganism that was a part of the world in the early centuries of the church. And a part of that pagan religion was that there was a goddess female whose name was Venus. In Latin, if you're speaking Latin, in English we say Venus. In Greek, you say Phosphorus. And in the Latin language, you would say Lucifer. And so when they used the word Lucifer in paganism, they were talking about that morning star that they saw. They'd look up and they'd see what we call Venus, the morning star, and they'd say, that's Lucifer up there. But the dogma of Lucifer in paganism was that Venus, Phosphorus, Lucifer was a goddess who elevated herself above the other gods, and that's why she tried to be the brightest light in heaven. That's paganism. And so Jerome in the fourth century, as he's making this translation, comes to this, and there is that Hebrew word. And he could have translated it a shining light, but he used that morning star concept and used the Latin word for Venus. How are you fallen from heaven, O Venus? In the Greek, O Phosphorus. How are you fallen from heaven? In the Latin Bible, Lucifer. And that is the only time this word appears in the Bible. Even the Hebrew word that he translates, Lucifer, it's the only time it appears in the Bible. Now the last statement on this page is, as we shall see, the Bible nowhere teaches that Satan was Lucifer, who before creation rebelled against God and was cast down. That's an affirmation. And the rest of this lesson says, let's get rid of all of this doctrine about Lucifer. Let's just wipe out that screen, that part of the screen that's over there on the right side of the screen, and just get rid of it. And let's start all over. And in that area where we had the doctrines of men, let's substitute the words, the doctrine of God. And we ask the question, what does the Bible say about Lucifer? You'll need your Bibles likely. You may want to make notes in your Bibles. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. And that's where we are going to be tonight. So what we're going to do is in this area of the screen here, we're going to put Isaiah chapter 14. And then whatever is said in Isaiah 14, we're not going to put the doctrines of men, we're going to put the doctrines of God. We've already said, let's forget about what men have said Lucifer is. Let's pick up our Bibles and see what the Bible says about Lucifer. And then we'll know the truth about Lucifer. Starting in Isaiah chapter 14 and in verse 5, we begin by this statement in reference to Lucifer, and we'll show and develop this further. What does the Bible say about Lucifer? Look at verse 5. The Lord has broken some individual. They've broken something, and this something is called the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Who's Lucifer? He was an individual, or whoever, whatever Lucifer is, was an individual that God broke. He broke his staff. He broke his scepter. And the next verse says, in reference to this Lucifer, verse 6, he was the one, Lucifer was the one, who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke. Now, that might be the devil, some individuals say, but as we develop this, you will see the absolute impossibility of this being something that happened before Adam and Eve. Why? Because he who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke is the one who ruled the nations in anger. How many nations were there before Adam? Whoever this Lucifer was, he was an individual who was struck down. He was one who in times past had ruled the nation. And verse 6, he is now being persecuted. Whoever Lucifer is, he is an entity that we shall identify more specifically. He is that individual who was ruling nations. Folks, there were no nations before Adam. And so the whole doctrine that goes to Isaiah chapter 14 and tries to apply the words of Lucifer, the words in this chapter, to Lucifer and a fallen angel that came down to the earth when the day star came down out of heaven, there were already nations on this earth. Now then, he's been broken. And so in the next verse says, guess what's happened? Since this individual who was cruel in the way he treated the nations, he was the individual who struck the nations in wrath continually with a continual stroke, whenever he is broken, the whole world is at peace. And poetically, he begins to talk about those things that rejoice. They break forth in singing, specifically the fir trees and the cedar trees in Lebanon. And they said, Lucifer is no longer cutting us down. And therefore, poetically, we are rejoicing. Lucifer, whenever he was smiting the nation, was also impacting the trees. And the trees figuratively are singing and saying, since he's no longer around, the world is at peace. Look in verse 8. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you, the cedars of Lebanon saying, since you were cut down, nobody's been bothering us. Lucifer was an individual who poetically cut down the trees of Lebanon. Let's continue with this and look down at the next verse, because in the next verse it says, in verse 9, that hell is excited about you. About who? Hell, the unseen world, is excited about Lucifer. Whoever Lucifer is, the unseen world. If I say the word Hades, and you understand Hades being the unseen world where spirits go, the Old Testament word that is sometimes used to refer to Hades is the word Sheol. And so where you read the word hell, it says, from beneath, down in the unseen world, they are excited because Lucifer, you are now headed down to Sheol. Who's in Sheol? Well, the verse says, the chief ones of the earth, it is raised up from their thrones, the kings, they all speak to Lucifer. And so here's Lucifer. He's been cut down. He's headed down into the unseen world. And in the unseen world are all the kings and the rulers. And they look up and they see Lucifer coming. And they all speak saying, how have you become as weak as we are? What's happened to all of these kings that are in the unseen world? They've died. They have been brought down. Sometimes their kingdoms have perished, and sometimes their kingdoms perish to whoever Lucifer is, that we shall identify more specifically later in this lesson. But the point we're trying to make is to put on the screen that the Bible says that in the unseen world, there are these kings and these rulers, and whenever they see Lucifer coming, they've said, you are as weak as we are. You thought you were something great. You thought you were the morning star. You have been brought down. And so the next verse says, and your pomp, the greatness of your grandeur, it has been brought down to Sheol, to that unseen world. And there's no longer the sound of stringed instruments, but he says, you have been brought down and you have become nothing more than food for the maggots. That's Lucifer. You've got to understand that before there was heaven and earth, there were no maggots. And yet when this Lucifer fell, something ate his body. The maggots ate his body. And so he says, and the worms cover you. How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? How have you fallen from heaven, O Phosphorus? How have you fallen from heaven? And the word literally means a bright shining light. Who is this individual? He was a wicked man who ruled over the nations. He was as a bright star who had been brought down. You've been cut down, you who weaken the nations. There was some individual in the time of Isaiah who fits this kind of a description in the biblical times of the Old Testament. There was that individual that fits this exactly, and it is not the devil. But we do know, and the words that we've put over here on this side are not the words of man. These words on this side are the doctrines of God. We put on this side at one time what men said about Lucifer. Now look at what God says about that same individual. Let's continue reading. In verse 17, stay here on this slide. You've been brought down to the pits. How have you been brought down, O Lucifer? How did I get all the way down to that section? Look in verse 13. You have said in your hearts, I will ascend up to the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the heaven. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend as though I am at the heights of the clouds, and I will be the most high. That's what he said. I will exalt myself. Whoever this individual was somebody who in biblical times said, I'm even greater than God. And God said, I'm taking you down. I'm casting you down. And figuratively, those who are in Sheol in the unseen world, they're glad to see you come. Said, you're not any better than we are. You are worse than what we are. And he says, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the depths of the pit. The word pit was often used as a well in which, like they threw Joseph. You remember his brother threw him down in the pit, the place you put prisoners. This individual who thought it was the greatest thing on earth, he's now been cast in the depths of the pits. figuratively speaking. He's in the unseen world. He has been broken. Now look at verse 16. Those who see you, Lucifer, those who see you will gaze on you, and considering in you, they will say, is this the man? Who is Lucifer? Let God be true. He was the man who shook the heavens and shook the kingdoms, pardon me, who was taken down from his place of height, and he shook the kingdoms, and he ruled the nations without any mercy at all. Is this the man? You've got to underline that word man to understand who Lucifer was. There was some man that was known in the writings of Isaiah who had done every one of these things. He'd conquered the world as it was. He thought it was the greatest thing there ever had been. And Isaiah says, speaking for God prophetically, Lucifer, you are a man that weakened the nations, but you are now going down to the pits. Now then, we still add the word the man from verse 16 and go to verse 17. Look at the next screen. Is this the man who made the world a wilderness? Is this the man who destroyed cities? Is this the man who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the earth, all of them sleep in glory, but Lucifer, you man, this man that ruled the nations, you will be cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garments of those who are slain, thrust through with the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden down, Lord, down who are trodden underfoot. You shall not be joined with them in burial because you destroyed the land, you've slain your people, and the brood of evildoers shall never be named. What does that mean? It means all of these things over here. All of the kings had their glorious tombs. Lucifer, some man in the writings of Isaiah depicted specifically or prophetically, that individual, when he died, was not even going to have the pyramids. He was not going to have a notable tomb. That's what kings did. This man, when he died, was going to be slain, thrust through with the sword, and the maggots would eat his body. Who on earth is this man? Who is Lucifer? Let God be true, and every man a liar. I started with verse 5 on purpose. I want you to hear and read verse 4. Go ahead and put verse 4 up there at this time. This is the way it starts. That you will take up this proverb, Isaiah. Take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and says, you who have been the oppressor, how you have ceased, the golden city has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. And that's where this lesson started. Who's Lucifer? Take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Briefly, and I know I'm running 3 minutes over time. Listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar, read Daniel 4 and Daniel 5. That image that was made to, that was to, all the world was to bow down to. The whole world was to worship that image. In Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is walking in his garden, thinking about how great I am. In fact, I put those words up there at one time. Remember Muhammad Ali? I am so great. Read Daniel 4. He had destroyed all of the nations. He destroyed Assyria. He destroyed Tyre and Sidon. And guess what he did when he destroyed Tyre and Sidon? He went and literally cut down the trees, the cedars of Lebanon, and used them in the part of trying to destroy that city. And then Nebuchadnezzar is brought down and his kingdom ceases to be. And look at verse 4. Who is Lucifer that has been brought down? The paragraph begins, Isaiah, write this proverb not about some individual when there was war in heaven and he was cast out before there was Adam and Eve. That is not Lucifer. Who is this Lucifer? Take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. I understand Revelation chapter 12, there's war in heaven. Lucifer's not mentioned. You've got to understand. Lucifer is mentioned, and you've read tonight, heard read tonight, every verse in the Bible that the Bible specifically ties to Lucifer. Who's Lucifer? A man who ruled the nations, who was without mercy against individuals, never released a prisoner, and when he died, the whole world was at peace. And even the cedars of Lebanon were singing praises that this man, the king of Babylon, had died. Who's Lucifer? Not some individual, some figment of the imagination that came out of bringing a pagan idea of Venus, the goddess, being some goddess who tried to elevate herself, and that's why she was a bright star. That's not who Lucifer was. Lucifer was that king of Babylon. And look at and read verse 4 again and again before the word Lucifer is ever addressed. This is a writing about the king of Babylon. Let God be true and every man a liar. We come to that part of our service where we sing this invitation. Let God be true about your salvation. The plan of salvation is devised by God, and we put it on the screen. Though you may have seen this before, you'll see it again and again. What is His plan for my being right with God? You need to understand, you've got to believe, you've got to repent, make up your minds to follow Him, you've got to confess your faith in Jesus and be immersed in water and become a part of God's glorious plan. And then you've got to serve the Lord faithfully. How can we help you to go to heaven? We can help you in any way. If we can help you, come forward right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?